Shall we pray before we look at God's words together? Lord God, thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you so much for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord God, that this evening you would teach us through what you are saying here in Psalm 62. We pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would be guiding us, revealing truth to us as you want us to understand it, Lord God. Don't let us twist your words or misunderstand them. But I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak right into our hearts, cutting us to our core, changing us, helping us to know and love you more and more, Lord God, as we step into Christ-likeness, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Christmas Day has come and it's gone, and I really hope that you all had amazing Christmases. And so now we're in that kind of weird post-Christmas, pre-New Year period, where no one quite knows exactly what's going on, no one knows what day it is, no one knows anything like what's happening next. And for some people, it's quite a stressful time because you've still got lots of planning to do, you've got a family to worry about, to think about, lots of things to be doing. Or maybe you're still trying to desperately cling on to that last remnant of Christmas spirit. Now that the final bits of turkey are getting used up, you've still got a few chocolates left. The tree by this point is probably looking a bit more withered and disheveled than when you first got it, but it's still there. But then before you know it, we'll be into New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day, and we'll be well on our way into January and hitting that post-Christmas hump. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I have to admit that I am not a huge fan of January. It starts off with so much hope and expectation, but by the time you're into mid-January, it's cold and it's dark and it's wet, and you're just like, it's just the same, but now we don't have Christmas anymore. Now, I'm really not trying to put a down on things. I'm not trying to sound depressing. Maybe I do sound like a bit of an eel. But in general, I do think that I find January and February can sometimes be really tough to kind of get through. We always get to New Year and we have such kind of high aspirations and expectations for the next year. And we say, you know, this year is going to be great. This year is going to be the best year yet. And we come up, well, some of us do, come up with all kinds of New Year resolutions. We talk about how this year is going to be better than last year. Or this year, I'll do that thing that I always wanted to do. Or I'll stop doing that thing that I know I shouldn't do. Or I'll get fit, I'll lose weight. Or sometimes people say, this year will be my year. 2014 will be my year. And maybe some of those things will happen. Maybe some of those things will stick. Maybe 2014 will be your best year ever. But maybe it won't. Maybe it won't be. And we all know that realistically, most New Year's resolutions normally last until maybe about January 3rd, and then all starts to fall apart. So basically, all of this is a very roundabout way of saying that actually we don't know. We don't know what 2014 is going to hold. We just don't know. It could be the best year yet. It could be an amazing year, or it could be your hardest year yet. Could be your hardest year yet. And we need to be prepared no matter what. We need to be prepared in either case, whether it's going to be amazing or really hard. We need to know where to find our source of comfort, our source of refuge, and where to find our place of rest, especially when it's this really stressful time of year, when we've got so much else on our mind, so much else going on. We need to think about where is the place that we find our rest. And this is the point at which I want us to get into Psalm 62, where we find that David, the psalmist, actually seems to not be having the best time. He doesn't seem to have had a great year. He is under attack and he is under persecution. The identity of the persecutor isn't revealed in the psalm, but they are quite clearly pointed towards. And throughout this psalm, where is David able to find his source of comfort, his source of rest, and his source of salvation? He's able to find it in God alone. So that's what we're going to look about, and that's what we're going to talk about this evening, finding rest in God. So we're going to look at the first four verses first, and we're going to look at finding rest in God in the face of hardships. So in the first two verses, we are introduced to the main theme of the psalm. So they say, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken." And then in the next two verses, We actually hear about what kind of situation that David is in. From this, it sounds like things are really good. But actually, as we read through verses 3 and 4, it says, "How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." So in these verses, David shifts who he's talking to. He shifts to be talking directly to the persecutors. How long will you assault a man? And you get the sense that actually the situation that David is in is quite a tough situation. He is being assaulted by persecutors who are attempting to throw him down. They are full of lies. They are manipulative and they are full of evil intent. They are wanting to topple him down. They fully intend to topple him down, it says in verse 4. Now, I don't know for all of you what your year's been like. I don't know what 2013 has been like for you. Maybe it's been an amazing year, or maybe it's been a really hard year. For me, if I'm honest, it's been a bit of both. It's been a bit of both. But one thing that I've really learned throughout this year, and that God has taught me about myself, is that actually what other people think about who I am and what people say or do about who I am really affects me a lot in a way that perhaps isn't the best. And actually, I think that really a lot of us are like that. A lot of us are like that. And I know that if I was going through what David was going through here, having people attack his character, having people make up lies about him, having people trying to topple him down, take him down from his position, that would be so hard. That would be so hard. And I think that actually I'm probably not alone in that. I'm not alone in thinking that that would be really hard. And it would be, wouldn't it? It would be hard to have people hate you, to have people attack you in vicious ways, trying all sorts of ways to take you down. But the fact is that David, through this, is able to find his source, his comfort, his strength, his rest in God. Because actually, what other people say or think or do is never as important as what God says and does. So make him your security. Make him your rock. Make him your fortress. David is able to deal with these hardships because he is clinging to God, to who God is. So find your peace and your rest in him. In all situations, in hard times, find your rest in him. He is our refuge and he is our salvation. So find rest in God in the face of hardships. And find rest in God alone. So I'm just going to read verses 5 to 8. It says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." God is our refuge. What do you find your rest in? Where is the place that you go? Where is the first place you go as your source of comfort, of rest, of security? In all honesty, in your heart, do you know that God is always the first place that you go to for rest and comfort? Is he the place that you go for your strength and your security? And if not, then actually probably there are things in your heart and in your life that are taking places where God should be. And it's okay. It's okay to have things that you enjoy. It's okay to have things that you like to do. But these things should never be our place of our trusted source of comfort and rest. They shouldn't be the place that we trust in above God, who is the only reliable source of strength and comfort and peace and rest. And notice how verse 5 and 6 are almost identical to verses 1 and 2. But there is a slight shift in emphasis. So verse 1, for example, says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." So that's a statement. But verse 5 says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone." So that's not a statement now, that's a command. So David is commanding his soul to find rest in God alone, nothing else. It's like he's saying, "Soul, make God your place of comfort. Soul, cling to him during this time. Soul, don't look to anything else." I think that sometimes we are too soft on ourselves. Sometimes we are too soft on ourselves. Maybe we should do more commanding of our own soul. Soul, find rest in God alone. He is the place we should go to. Nothing else. And as we move through, he moves from commanding his soul to commanding the rest of the whole congregation. So in verse 8, we see, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So it's not just a personal thing, it's not just for David, it's not just for individuals, but it's for everyone. It's a communal thing. We all of us need to find God as our place of comfort and rest. We need to encourage each other and help each other to have God as that place of rest and comfort, as the ruler of our lives and our community. And notice the language here as well, the language saying, pour out your hearts to him. Pour out your hearts to him. Don't hold back from God. Don't hold back from God. He wants to hear and he wants to listen. He wants to take away your burdens. So be honest and open before God. He knows everything that's going in your heart already. So be honest and open before him. Share with him your fears and concerns and hurts. Trust in him at all times. But it's not just about speaking out to him, but it's also about being still. So actually the ESV translation of rest is wait in silence. So it's, for God alone my soul waits in silence. So it's about pouring out your heart to God, but it's also allowing time and finding time to be still before God, to stop, to take time out of our busy lives, of our busy schedules, our busy Christmases, our busy New Years. To stop and be still before God, to wait before God, to pour out our hearts before him, but also just to rest in him, to rest in his presence, to trust in him alone, to find refuge in him alone. And why? Because God is the best place to find rest. And we see that through verses 9 to 12. So in verses 9 to 10, we see examples of things that are not worth putting our trust in. So it says in verse 9, low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. People are so temporary. People are but a breath. If you put them on a balance, then compared to the weight of eternity and God's character, they are nothing. You would have a more significant result if you weighed an elephant against a speck of dust. So why worry? Why worry about what other people say or think when you have the God of eternity on your side? But also, why turn to people for your source of comfort and your source of refuge when you have the God of eternity who is there waiting for you to come to him? Now, I am not saying at all that people are unimportant, not at all. God thought people were so important that he sent his son to die for them. I'm also not even saying that what people say or do has no impact or no significance either. But what I am saying is that they are completely inconsistent and insufficient source of security, comfort, and refuge. You know, people are inconsistent. There are great things, amazing things about the way that God has created us, but we also fall short so often. You know, people will hurt you. People will not always be there for you. People will not always be able to be trusted. People will break your hearts. But God will never do those things. God is consistent. God is there for you. God will always come out every time, every time. I'm not saying that people are unimportant. I'm not saying that people aren't significant. But they are inconsistent and they are an insufficient source of security and comfort. And then verse 10 goes on to highlight other things that are not going to be a reliable source of security. And in this verse, again, he's referring particularly to his persecutors. He's talking directly to them. He says, do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. So these men, these persecutors, they are foolish. They are foolish because they think that they're okay. They are trusting in their riches and their wealth, even if they've got it through immoral means. They think that what's to worry about? because we have so much wealth, we have so much riches. But the fact is that even if things are going well, even if you are in a worldly sense secure, if you have wealth, have all the things that people think that you should want in this life, that doesn't mean that you are okay before God, and it doesn't mean that you will stay that way. That doesn't mean that you will retain all your wealth. It doesn't mean that you will retain your popularity, your possessions, or whatever else it is that you think is something that you can put your trust in. And certainly it's true that in light of eternity, these things won't last. You might take your wealth to the grave, possibly, but you're not going to take it any further than that. Everything else will fade away. Everything else will fade away, but God is consistent throughout eternity. Throughout eternity, he is the same and he is there. Now, I already said that I don't know necessarily for all of you what your 2013s were like. But I know even less. I know even less about what your 2014s will be like. They could be amazing or they could be really awful. It is inconsistent. It is unpredictable. But either way, place God as your place of rest and refuge. Whether you are persecuted and under attack, or whether you gain riches and wealth, put your faith and your trust and your refuge in him. He is the only one thing that is guaranteed to be consistent throughout everything, throughout this life and after this life as well. So this year, you may get a promotion, or you might lose your job. You might fall in love, or you might feel betrayed. You might have fun or an adventure, or you might get sick. We don't know. But whatever happens, make God the center. Make God your place of rest and comfort. So, unlike everything else, God is consistent and eternal. He is consistent in his love, in his goodness, and in his power. Verse 11 to 12 say, "One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." So why put our trust and security in God? Because he loves us and he is able and powerful to do whatever it is that he wants to do. So it's good that he loves us. And actually, in the most profound way, he has already done for us more than we could have ever hoped or imagined. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die and to rise again for us, conquering sin, conquering death for us. And this very last little bit that says, "Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." Actually, on the surface, that can seem almost a bit scary because we think, well, actually, what have I done? Well, I know I've done this thing wrong and I've made these mistakes. But actually, we know now that he will reward us according to what Christ has done for us. So it is true to say that God will reward each person according to what they have done. But when God looks at us, what he sees that we have done is that we have shared in Christ's life, death, and resurrection in the most profound way possible. The biggest mystery, but the greatest truth of the Bible is that. That when God looks at us, he sees Christ. He sees Christ. So we are secure and safe in that knowledge. We are safe and we are secure in God's arms. So why put him as our trust and our place of rest? Because he has done for us already. He has already done for us more than we could hope or imagine. So as we move on from Christmas, as we move out of 2013 and into 2014, my request to you today is to find your rest in God. To find your rest in God. Pour out your heart to him. Be silent before him. Let him be your comfort and security throughout these next 3 weeks, but also in the whole of 2014 and the whole of your life. Whatever comes, whatever happens. Christmases come and go, years come and go, and each one is filled with our own unique joys and our own unique challenges. But through everything, no matter what happens, God is our rock and he is our fortress. He is secure and he is safe because he loves you and he is strong. So find your rest in him. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that you are a God who we can trust in. You are a God who we can rely in. Thank you, Lord God, that you are consistent, that you are strong, and you are loving. Thank you, Father, that we can put our hope in you. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a place of rest for us, Lord. No matter what else is happening in our life, whether things are hard or whether things are going well, you are our place of rest and our place of security. I pray, Father, that you would remind us of that every day throughout this next year, Lord God, and throughout our lives ahead, that you would remind us that whatever happens, you are that source of rest and comfort. You are always there, and you are always the same. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.